Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed. Miles from nowhere, at least that's what it seems. Politicians in the big old cities are running everything. Our way of life may be simple, and it's not for everyone. It's a tough state of mind, it's a state of change, it's a state of Jefferson. Sing it with me one time now. State of Jefferson.
Good morning, Jefferson. It is the state of Jefferson. How y'all doing out there? This is Terry Raposa, and I'm here this morning with C.J. Bryant. She came here last night from Nevada County, her and her husband. They came to a fundraiser for Patrick Jones, who's running for Assembly District 1. And C.J. came in last night. She's my guest. How you doing, dear?
I am just fine, Terry Raposa, and I am happy to be here.
You're always happy. That's great. Anyway, to start things off here, let's let you know that we're broadcasting live at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is KCNR Radio. We're streaming live, and we are podcasted and archived. And tomorrow night, at the Patriot Meeting at 2570 South Bonnie View Road, we will be having a group from Speak Up Shasta. The gentleman's name is Patrick Swimer, and Patrick's going to be talking about the casino that's coming in, and they're not really happy about that with the casino going in on I-5. They feel that it's going to create a lot of traffic, around 14,000 new trips in cars, and probably a lot of unfair competition to businesses because of the fact that there won't be sales tax taken on that. So they've got some real concerns. There's pros and cons, and so we have these people come in at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. They'll be talking about what they believe should be done. And again, it is Speak Up Shasta tomorrow night, 2570 South Bonnie View Road at 6 o'clock. Also, we are going to be having a rally in Sacramento during the court case we've talked about over the last few weeks, Baird versus the state of California, which is a court case having, of course, to do with the Second Amendment. And as we know now, the only protected right, according to the Supreme Court, and the Ninth Circuit agreeing, shock of shocks, and that is the only protected right under the Second Amendment is open carry of a loaded weapon. So we all know now that concealed carry is simply a privilege, and like any other privilege, it can be taken from you. So that court case is very important. It will be at the Robert Matsui Courthouse, and that is a very, very, very important date to keep in mind. We will be having a bus that will be leaving from Reading. We still have some room on that bus, and it's $30. The bus picks you up at 6 o'clock in Reading. Then we'll be picking up also in Red Bluff and in Corning in Tehama County, arriving in Sacramento around 9 o'clock and then turning around and coming back about 2. And one of the things we want everybody to do there is they come, when you come there, make sure that you are open carrying a holster with a Constitution in it. So I know CJ is going to practice her quick draw there. So we'll be having quick draw contests with our Constitutions. The address again is Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street, Sacramento, California. Anyway, CJ, you've got an important announcement about the Walk for Liberty.
I do, but you know, before we get into that, I just want to ask about that holster thing. Whose creative idea was that? That is such an excellent idea. Carrying your Constitution in a holster. September 6th, I know everybody wants to be there.
Yeah, open carry.
Open carry. Yes, I was pleased on Friday before we left for the Patrick Jones fundraiser last night. I was pleased that we were able to meet the Liberty Walking crew. Shannon Poe and the crew that is walking the Highway 49 down the Gold Country. And we were able to stop, chat with them, take a lot of pictures, figure out all the things that they were doing in order to raise awareness to the overregulation. And we were able to take them to dinner. It was great. We had Connie gave us a lot of tips on who to use, because their live streaming on Facebook, you know, has been taken down. They figure about 65-70% of their videos that they've posted on Facebook has been taken down. I don't know why. Would you have any idea, Terry?
Well, it's pretty simple. Anytime you want something to do with conservatism, or you want your rights back, or you have a discussion about liberty, Facebook's all over it to make sure that that doesn't happen, unfortunately. We need Facebook because we have to have that social media, and we have to use a lot of social media maybe that are not of the same persuasion that many of us are. I mean, just being country-loving Americans, and unfortunately, that's just the way of the world there. I know that I've talked to Shannon quite a bit. They are going to have an event on Tuesday, August the 27th at the Capitol, and I think the hours are on here, aren't they? Let's see.
1 p.m.
Yeah. It's going to start at 1 p.m., and it'll be at the Sacramento Capitol building. There'll be speakers, and Shannon will be there. I've talked to him numerous times. What a great guy he is. But, I mean, the miners have been overregulated. They've, you know, the back roaders can't get back in to use the land that we own as the people. And, you know, it's just been all the way around a very difficult situation with our state and, frankly, with our federal government, too. So, anyway, we'll be having people calling in here, too. I'm expecting Tom Doda to call in here soon. He's from Sierra County, and Shannon, part of the walk, was in Sierra. In fact, I think it started in Loyalton in Sierra County.
Vinton.
Oh, okay.
Vinton, uh-huh.
Was that Sierra County?
I'm not sure.
Well, we'll have to find out.
Huh? Oh.
And then I know they went over to Plumas County, and they went into your county. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is we need to unite together. I mean, we stop and we think about what we want is we want to have the silver bullet. Everybody wants the silver bullet. Let's kill the beast. The silver bullet has always been representation. Without your Article 4, Section 4 constitutional rights, there is no rights. There isn't anything. If you're not represented in our Republican form of government, not our democracy, but our Republican form of government, if we're not represented, then our voice isn't heard. If our voice isn't heard, we now become slaves of the state. On top of that, we need to protect the Second Amendment as the second thing. We have to protect that. Now, it's funny because we've talked to a lot of people who are talking about hunting and all that good stuff and how, you know, gosh, you know, we really need guns for hunting. Well, you know, when we established the Second Amendment, that was in 1789, and we established it because we had just won our independence in a civil war, because the people in the colonies were subjects of England, and we won that war and became an independent country. When we did that, we wanted to make sure that the federal government, or the government we created in the Constitution, would never be able to treat us as subjects and treat us as slaves as the Kingdom of England did. So, we created the Second Amendment. And in doing that, we are the country that stayed free the longest, unlike many other countries where they've taken weapons away. They've taken away to protect yourself. The third thing we have to do is we have to understand as we get people elected, we have to elect people who care about the Constitution, care about their country, and don't want to be lifelong politicians. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to get CJ's thoughts on that. We went to a fundraiser last night, get her thoughts on that. But right now, time has come.
4:51.
Don't you dare go running down my little town where I grew up, and I won't cuss your city lights. If you ain't ever took a ride around.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally the time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit soj51.net to show your support.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Nobody's going to call the cops. Where I come from.
That's a great song.
It is a great song. It is. You know, that's Sally. She likes to put on music. It's kind of nice because we've had Jackson Browne the last 2 weeks. And Jackson Browne. And Jackson Browne. But, honey, I know you're... It's okay. You do a great job in music. I know you're sitting by the computer laughing right now, so that's good.
Sally, don't let him talk to you like that.
She doesn't. She doesn't. But anyway, I'm here with C.J. Bryant from Nevada County. She has been absolutely marvelous with the state of Jefferson. She is the person who heads up the State of Jefferson Committee there. She's done a marvelous job on that. She's on our Constitution Committee. We're really happy to have her. And her husband drove from Nevada County last night to go to a fundraiser to support Patrick Jones for Assembly District 1. So how did you like the fundraiser last night, kiddo?
Oh, what a night that was. I mean, I'd never seen so many raffle prizes and such an exciting way to win something. There were so many different ways, so many different approaches, and there were so many people there, willing donors that were just throwing money at those items. They obviously feel very dedicated to getting Patrick Jones elected. So I was great. I felt great to be part of that from Nevada County. It was a great thing. Patrick Jones is also going to be down at the Nevada County Placer joint meeting at the round table on Wednesday night. All the candidates were invited, but only two that I'm aware of have accepted. That would be Patrick Jones and Joe Turner. That meeting will start at 5:30. It is at 370 Elm Street. So if you haven't had a chance to hear these two candidates, I strongly advise that you attend this meeting because it is well worth it. It's great to see two candidates that stand up for the Constitution and stand up for SOJ. And they'll say it loud and in color to any forum, to any group that they are meeting with. So I am really pleased to be part of that.
Sounds great. We have two people on the phone. We're going to take Tom first. How are you doing, Tom?
Doing great, Terry. Thanks for taking the call.
Well, tell us a little bit about what happened in Sierra County with the Walk for Liberty.
Well, on Tuesday, we started off down actually in Plumas County, which is just across the line, and that's where it started at Vinton, where Highway 49 starts off. And we had a very success story to talk about from that, because there was a lot of people there. There was a great crowd. We had the Plumas County Sheriff to speak just before Shannon took off. And then with that crowd, they took about 4 hours to make it on into Loyalton, where Shannon was welcomed there at White Service with a Jefferson booth. And, again, just a great crowd. We're a small community, but I'm telling you, the support was just all over for Shannon. And what Shannon sticks for is over-regulation destroys liberty. And basically, to me, that's what Jefferson stands out for, too, is the same thing, that we need our lives back. And so the over-regulation destroys liberty motto is something that we got to help, and it'll be, the 24th when he makes it all the way down 49 and finishes up just south of Mariposa.
Yep, and then on August 27th at 1 p.m., he'll be at the Capitol. There's a lot of speakers that are going to be there.
Well, and speaking of the 27th, you know, for Northern California, and part of what this walk's about is we've got an election coming, and we have Patrick Jones, and the things that he stands for is what the Walk for Liberty is about. It's about he stands for what Jefferson's about. And the others are fake. And Patrick Jones is for fully funded pensions. He's for saving the dams. He's for the Second Amendment. He's for representation and forest management, all things that are huge for us in Northern California. And he really knows how to get in and do it. He's not just learning and thinking it'll be a nice paycheck. So.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
People can really work towards getting Patrick Jones in, and it'll help the cause of what we did with over-regulation destroys liberty with the Walk for Liberty, and our wonderful state of Jefferson movement that's maybe moving ahead again with speed if we can just get representation.
Well, you know, we're moving right along here. I'll be talking about this in a little bit. We do have somebody else on the line. I'll get to Janet here in just a minute. But we did have NBC here. We had Abby and Dasha were the two reporters. Jason was the camera man. And we had NBC here that came in from New York, and they stayed for 3 days with us. And we'll talk about that. Also, it's pretty exciting. We have a friend named David Linville, and David started a movie about the state of Jefferson around 3 years ago. And he's finally culminated it and finished it. And he came from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we met last Saturday at my home. And we went through the rough product, so to speak, and we had to cut 4 minutes. It was 31 minutes and 49 seconds, so we had to get it down to about 27 minutes for PBS.
Okay.
And it looks like it's going to be broadcasting worldwide on PBS. So there's an enormous amount of things. We're tired, we're running, but we're excited. So, Tom, thank you for all you've done. And Tom Doda, a real patriot out of Sierra County, one of my favorite people, one of all our favorite people. Tom, you've been stellar. You've been here since the beginning with us. I'll never forget it in that town hall in Plumas County when you stood there and said, I'll take this on. And you have, my good friend. God bless you, and thank you for calling.
And thank you so much for your service you provide. Take care and have a good day.
All right,
bye,
pal.
Tom. And Terry, don't you find that there's a general energy that's rising up now? Don't you feel it?
I do, and I think Janet probably has it because she's hanging on the line. Janet, are you there?
Good morning. It's good to talk to you, and it's actually morning. I have something that I want the voters of Assembly District 1 to think about. You are hiring someone to do a job, and do those people actually show up for a job interview? We had a town hall in the Intermountain area of Eastern Shasta County, and we invited all five candidates for Assembly District 1. Megan Daly declined our invitation. Elizabeth Betancourt declined our invitation. Lane Rickard accepted our invitation and confirmed, and I actually spoke to him personally, and he was looking forward to being there. He didn't show up. Joe Turner was double booked that night, and he was late, but he made a special effort to be there, even though he was late. Patrick Jones was there. He was prepared and ready for his job interview. If you, as a voter, want someone who will represent you well in Sacramento, is that going to be the person who didn't show up for the job interview, who didn't have time to come and talk to the people when he was campaigning or she was campaigning? Is that the person who is going to represent you well once they are in Sacramento? Think about it. Who can you depend on to be there for you?
You know, Janet, that's such a great point. And, you know, when you talk about Megan Daly, we had several times that we had debates we were going to put out there. The first date, Megan Daly couldn't make it, so we changed the date to July 29th. And then just before that happened, oh, she couldn't make it again. You know why she couldn't make it? It was her birthday. So, I mean, you know, I guess she had to blow out the candles. But, I mean, I've worked on my birthday before, and when I was doing something as important as talking to potential voters and talking to constituents or potential constituents, I would think that you'd show up for that. Here's the worst part about her not showing up at the Reading debates. Arguably, we did have, well, not even that, we definitely had more people at our debates when we had the Senate debate with Kylie and, you know, Himes and Daly, et cetera. When we had that debate, we had more people at our debate, over 300, than anybody else did. We also had more people at the assembly debate, even though Megan didn't show up, at our meeting, than any other county or anybody else. And when you have that, and she has declined to show up every time, she's declined to do interviews, and we know why. And I'm going to go ahead and give you this one. At the Republican Central Committee, she went in, and she was asked about water. Well, she didn't really have an answer on it. She was asked about raising the dam. Well, she didn't really know much about it. She was asked about the dams in the Klamath. Well, you know, she had sort of fumbled and stumbled about 4 weeks before when Mark Baird asked her about that, and she said it really wasn't in her, you know, wasn't really an issue that she could have any effect on, which she was 1,000,000% wrong on, and Mark showed her that. And our Sheriff Tom Pasinko, endorsed Megan Daly before he saw the full field of candidates. And when he was at our meeting a couple of weeks ago, his reasoning was because of her position on water. So all I can figure is that when he endorsed her about 4 months ago, and he said that she was the gal, when he particularly did that, he said it was on water and not the Second Amendment. Well, she must have forgotten everything about water that she knew when she went to the Republican Central Committee. And by the way, she only got 3 votes. Patrick got 8.
If you cannot stand with the people when you are campaigning, how are you going to stand with the people when you are representing 500,000 of them in a district? I've run for office. I know how important those town halls are, and I know how much work goes into putting one on. And for a candidate to just ignore the people, to not meet, to not make an effort to be a part of the campaign process in discussing issues with the people, it is either fear, ignorance, or a slap in the face, and you just don't care about the people you're supposed to represent.
Take that
into account when you go into that voting booth and place your vote.
Well, if her name was Megan Miller, you think anybody would be backing her? I mean,
if her name were Megan Smith, yeah. I doubt that she would be getting all the endorsements that she is getting. And it angers me that Brian Daly refuses to give up his assembly seat, so he sticks his wife in there. And now, effectively, Brian Daly still if she is elected, he would still have control of both the assembly seat and the Senate seat. And that's not how our system of representation is supposed to work.
Well, it's not
a family dynasty.
Well, no, it's not. But the other thing, too, that the worst part about that is she doesn't know anything. And the last thing I'll leave this with, and then we'll come back. CJ has some things she wants to say, but we'll come back after the break. But I want to bring up one quick thing, and that is that her main thing is education, because she was on a school board that has what, 127 children. I'm not slighting that, but that it doesn't really make her, you know, the all-knowing school board member there and the all-knowing how the educational system works, because obviously she doesn't in California. What she wants is us to have, meaning up here in the North Country, to have the same opportunity that the kids in urban counties do. Well, Megan, did you know that California spent $28 billion with a B dollars more than any other state, and we're number 49? Anyway, Janet,
well,
if you...
Yes, and I am so happy that she kept the students safe from violence in Austin County.
Yeah, that's true, too. Anyway, Janet, if you want to hang on through the break, you're more than welcome, but right now we've got to go take one, so time has come.
4:51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your Keith. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Out in the countryside, lay back and smell the sun, warm up the Georgia pie. Feels so good to be taking it easy. Why would I ever leave? 'Cause I know I got some good friends that live.
Good song, Sally Lou. Good girl. Way to go, baby. Good stuff. Good stuff. We're back. Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we are also podcasting and streaming live worldwide, all over the world, CJ. You're all over the world, girl.
Ooh.
Janet, are you still there, my dear?
I am still here.
Oh,
as
great.
Long as I got up this early, I might as well talk.
Yes, Your Majesty. Anyway, CJ has a couple of things she wants to chit-chat with you about. So it's time for CJ and Janet with Girl Talk.
All right. Well, I'm not sure this is Girl Talk, Janet, but here's the thing. I know that you're a big part of the Brain Trust and that you are thoughtful and study all the issues and stuff, but we have been getting just bombed with Megan Daly flyers. in Nevada County.
Yeah.
And so these flyers have got to cost a gross amount of money. So I went online and I did a little bit of sleuthing with the Secretary of State's office under campaign financing. And I have found that Megan Daly has been financed to the tune of over $185,000. And a big part, $110,000 of that, comes from the California Police Officers Association. The other part of it comes from the California Board of Realtors Association. And I just want, as a voter, what is your take? Because this seems to me very much like somebody is buying the election.
Exactly. They are. And they know that Brian is one of those people that they have been able to manipulate and work with to their advantage. And having Megan in there means that we're just going to have Brian in both positions. And they don't care what Megan's issues are on the Second Amendment or on water or on land issues. They just look at it more from a union point of view and how can we get what we want out of this. And it's usually more money.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, money's by elections. I mean, money buys elections. And, you know, I think that the worst part of it is that Megan Daly isn't even pretending she knows anything. That's the worst part of it. She just is, her flyers are completely nebulous. She's against higher taxes. Oh, gee. And also, she wants better education. Gosh. She wants to keep our children safe. Gee whiz. You know, how do you do all those types of things? There's no substance. There's no plan. Nothing. And I know that we heard from Patrick and Joe Turner about the plans they had. Hey, even Rickard had a plan. He's another one, though, that really kind of bothers me because I know he committed to you verbally. I mean, but just not to show. I mean, what's up with that?
Looking forward to August 13th, I will be there. And he did not show up, and he didn't make any effort to contact anybody.
Unbelievable.
And that's rude. My mama taught me better than that when I was little.
Yeah,
just tell people if you're not going to be able to make an appointment.
It's just polite.
That's right. Common sense. You know, we were talking about Megan's flyers. Look at them carefully. What do they really say? Nothing. I'm going to try to do this. I will fight for you. And her motto, together we are strong, or we are strong together. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Nebulous. It's meaningless.
Well, she got it from Missy MacArthur.
That's all she has to say. And most of her flyers are who's supporting her, not why they are supporting her.
Yeah, she got
and
it
the
from.
The why is far more important to me than the who. And her flyers are glitzy, and they're colored, and they have pictures of her and her kids, and they tell me absolutely nothing about what she will be doing when she gets to Sacramento. So actions speak louder than words. She ignored my town hall in the Intermountain area. She ignored my town hall in Redding, and that's what I can expect from her in Sacramento. She will ignore me.
And she'll take her birthday off. You know, here's the thing. She got the Shasta Strong thing, or Make Us Stronger, from Missy MacArthur. Everything she's done has been the regurgitation of somebody else. That's the problem, too. I mean, you're right about the rhetoric, but it's just, they're just nebulous. But, you know, the problem that we have, too, is we have a lot of people that just aren't informed voters, and they'll just say, oh, gee, last name, or, you know, gosh, she's a mom, you know. Gee whiz, and, you know, she helps run a business, and she's talking about being a business owner. Well, she owns it with her husband, and she's a part business owner. And, you know, there's also, I know that one of that one plant that they saved, I know that they do the trucking for that plant. The other one didn't get saved. But the plant they saved, it said that they would make anywhere from 100,000 to a million a year. That's quite a spread. How does that work?
Yeah, that's actually in my hometown of Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cogeneration plant, and
right.
There was a very clever article written about that with the title Hauling Ash, which is what they do. They haul the ash out of the cogeneration plant and use it as fertilizer on their agricultural projects. And there were two cogenerating plants in town, and one of them closed when they put the windmills on Hatchet Ridge. But the one that the Dalleys were involved with, that one stayed in business. So I'm not quite sure how that all worked, but they did benefit from the one that remained open.
My question
and
is,
if we look at the fact that she is getting all of these donations from large organizations, does that mean that if she goes to Sacramento, that she will be paying them off rather than looking at what I need in my area? Is she going to be paid off by people who do not really live in her district?
Well,
I've noticed that some unions in the California Association of Highway Patrolmen and sheriffs and that sort of thing, those are not really her assembly district constituents.
Janet?
They're statewide.
Janet?
So is she going to be representing a statewide organization, or is she going to be representing me?
Janet?
Yes.
Can you hear us? Because we were trying to ask you a couple questions, and I know our phone system sometimes, well...
I didn't think you could. I'll turn it over to you.
Oh, that's okay. Just maybe say over when you're done. Honestly, I mean, it's not your fault, you know, because I know you adore you along with everybody else in Jefferson. But, yeah, I mean, we do have problems with the phone system now and then, folks, so we're not trying to talk over each other. She can't hear us, and we have that. Sometimes we have two people on the line. No one can hear us. But anyway, the question I had is the fact that the income that's shown off of that is anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million. I mean, how does that even work tax-wise? What's going on here? I mean, if I have to declare something on my taxes, hey, let's see, I made anywhere between $100,000 and $1 million. Here you go. You know?
That's what my retirement check looks like. It's somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000, $5,000 and $1 million. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, you know, that's you forgot to say over.
Over.
You know, but anyway, yeah, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you look at all this stuff and you just scratch your head. We had when NBC was here, and NBC was up there at your debate and filmed all of that, and there will be coverage on that nationwide on NBC. And, you know, when they were up here with us, the last night we had dinner at Mary's Pizza Shack, and I'll mention that because they were great people. They let us use the room in there, in fact, where all the tappers are for where you tried the beers. I mean, people were very respectful and stuff, but we were in there with the reporters. And one of the things we talked about was the youth. And, you know, Sal and I have five children, and we're not worried about them. In other words, we can spend their inheritance. We're not worried about them. But point being is that young people have a dream, and that's what's happened in our country with young people. They don't have a dream anymore. They lost their dream. They're sort of just working at the job, or it's one job to another job, or I can always get a job. But there's no dream. There's no position of saying, gosh, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I'll use my oldest daughter as an example. Loves sports. I mean, she was with Mitt, 5 years old. She's standing behind me wanting to play catch. In third grade, she was asked what she wanted to do when she grew up. She said she wanted to be a professional softball player. Well, when Jessica was in third grade, there was no professional softball. However, she not only became a professional softball player, but she is a coach. She has coached. She's a coach at El Camino College, and she was the Southern California Coach of the Year, both men and women. She was the leader in that. She won that award, and she won it 2 years in a row. And it's a marvelous story because she followed her dream. And I think if you're a parent out there, you know, here's what you tell your kids. If they have a dream, let them pursue it. If they have a love for something, let them pursue it, because everything is hard. And if their dream is hard, that's good, because it's always the hard that makes it great. And had a good conversation with those two reporters, and they were I was really surprised on how open they were. They really didn't even ask any personal questions until, like, the third day. I was very surprised. It was different than any other experience we've had with CBS and Fox and everybody else. But it was really really interesting. And I know, Janet, when you did a marvelous job on that debate up there, they got some very good footage of that. And I couldn't agree with you more. I'm impressed on how well you handled that in lieu of the fact that, that those people dissed an entire community. It wasn't a group. It was a community. Amazing to me. Amazing to me.
And I hope that the voters take that into account when they cast that vote for who is going to represent them for the next year and a half. We're getting really close to another election. 2020, we'll have to do this all over again.
I know. Anyway, okay. My dear, thank you so much for everything and everything you do, and I guess I'll see you tomorrow, huh?
You will indeed.
All right. So, did you have fun last night?
51.
Did you have fun last night?
I did. I had a great time. Yeah, although I didn't win things. I bought the wrong ticket.
All right, Janet, thank you so much for everything. Janet Chandler, and we have Bob on the line. Bob, how you doing, buddy? We got a sign we have Bob on the line. We have a hang-up, and we have a scrambling producer. Do we have Bob on the line?
Bob is gone.
Bob is gone.
Bob is gone. Is
gone. Long gone before you know it. Amy Lou Harris.
Well, I just would like to say, with regards to what we were talking about with Janet and the campaign financing and the hordes of money that has been poured into the Daley campaign, I'm not sure why that money has been poured in, but I would suspect it's because Brian Daley is connected with these associations, and they feel by pouring money into Megan's campaign, they're going to get a twofer, you know, a two for one. So I think, as a voter, I would just like to leave it as saying I feel very disrespected when the vote is being bought and paid for by organizations that I have no connection with. I want my vote to be representative of me, and I want the person I elect to represent me, not the organizations.
Even on their birthday?
On their birthday especially.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. I mean, you know, the part that bothers me is everybody gets duped. You know, one thing I think that a lot of these people that run for office and people we have in elected office, they just all think we're stupid.
No.
They just think we're idiots. You know, okay, so it's fine. I don't know anything about anything, but vote for me. And by the way, I don't know, but I'm nice and people like me and I'm a mom. And on top of that, gosh, you know, I want my kid to have a good education. I mean, unbelievable how nebulous that is. It looks to me like we have somebody on the line, but I'm going to double check. Do we have somebody on the line? We do. We don't? We do. We do. We have, looks like Nick. No, Mark. It's Mark. Is this Kemosabe?
I'm not sure.
We aren't either. It's been a very interesting morning. Very interesting morning. We got started a little late.
I just wanted to chip in real quick here and talk about a couple of things. First of all, we're talking about the association with existing union organizations and so on. And remember that Brian Daley was one of the founding members of or principals of NEQA, Northeast California Water Association, which was a mandatory enrollment founded by the state, where people in northeastern California, ranchers and farmers, got letters that you had to join this organization, you had to pay fees, you had to pay dues, and in exchange for joining the organization, the NEQA people in the state got to tell you how you could use your land and how you could use your water.
Good grief.
And remember that if you control the water, you control the land, and if you control the land, you control the people on the land. This is all about power, money, and control for Brian and his family and his wife and his buddies in the Realtors Association. And, you know, quite frankly, I'll bet you if you talk to individual realtors on the street, they probably don't even know what their association is up to. But they have a legislative axe to grind. They want stuff. And Brian and his wife will give it to them. And Brian and his wife will give CalPERS whatever CalPERS wants. And Brian and his wife will give all the big organizations whatever they want because they want the power. They want the position. So remember, folks, if you don't have liberty, you're not going to be allowed to keep the money. And Brian and his wife are the antithesis of liberty. They are the swamp. they're the creatures we need to drain from the swamp. So let's drain the swamp. Vote. And when it comes to the Second Amendment, Brian and his wife are no friends of the Second Amendment. I mean, they got the endorsement of the sheriffs who deny people the right to carry weapons. Tom Pasinko is no friend of the Second Amendment. Our sheriff is no friend of the Second Amendment. No sheriff in California has ever issued a permit for people to carry openly a weapon. And that's their power to do that or not do it. And they choose not to do it. So if you vote for Brian, you're voting to deny yourselves and your family and your friends access to Second Amendment guarantees, and you're voting to keep CalPERS on the money train that's bankrupting California right this instant.
And Megan is the extension of that. Mark, can you hang on? Are you in the middle of doing something?
I can hang on.
Okay, good, because we're going to go off to our last break here, and then we'll come right back to you, because I have a couple of questions, especially on this NEQA issue. So anyway, time has come, folks.
4:51.
So we live out in our old van, travel all across this land, me and you.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Just as free, free as we'll ever be. Just as free, free as we'll ever be.
We're back. Yes, we are. And Kemosabe, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, I know that you had mentioned about Tom Pasinko, also John Lopey. In fact, John Lopey wrote the endorsement little kadiddy for all the sheriffs, and he wrote that. I have it in my archives. And, you know, John did the same thing. Lopey did the same thing. He endorsed Megan before even seeing who was in the field. And the thing that really kind of throws me is when you have somebody like Patrick Jones, who's been a mayor, who's done some great things for the community, who's a Second Amendment guy, who is a fiscal conservative, who also wants to make sure that the pensions are funded and solve all these problems, is somebody that the sheriff, both Lopey and Pasinko, just to name two, those guys went ahead and they endorsed Megan just right off the get-go. My favorite thing, though, was Tom Pasinko's talking about, well, it was the water. I mean, seriously, it was the water? She doesn't know anything about water. Anyway, This NEQA issue, didn't that have quite an effect on some landowners, and did that sort of, in one way, shape, or form, even force some of them to move?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I know at least one guy who sold his property and left the state because of NEQA, and he was literally in tears. He had some alfalfa ground that he wasn't going to be allowed to raise alfalfa on according to the rules of NEQA. I remember he gave me a call one day. And I said, tell them no. And he says, what do you mean? I said, don't sign. Don't join. Tell them no. If they have to ask your signature, it means they can't make you. And I went up there. I jumped in the car with Tom Pease, my friend Tom, and we went up and gave a town hall up there just on the spur of the moment about resisting government intrusion into private property rights. And I don't know whatever happened with NEQA. But I don't think it was very popular. I don't think it ended up being well subscribed. But Brian Daly was one of the guys behind that NEQA thing. He was on the Sierra Conservancy, a grant money a grabber for environmental causes. Brian Daly voted to increase the training required for a CCW. I mean, this guy is a nightmare. And his wife parrots every single position he has. What about Klamath Dam? Well, I don't know very much about that. Yeah. That's a federal issue. You know, I mean, she parrots every position and every opinion that Brian has. Brian told one of our supporters in Siskiyou County, I'm never going to do anything for Siskiyou County again. You people are way too much trouble. That's what he says about one of the counties. I mean, the guy has a bad temper. He's got anger management problems. His wife it parrots exactly his positions. Do you really want those two in total control of District 1? Vote for Patrick Henry Jones.
Our sheriff does.
He represents liberty. He represents Jefferson. He represents the Second Amendment. And by the way, Patrick puts his money where his mouth is. He's been a driving force in so many fundraisers for Second Amendment rights and for local liberty rights and for Jefferson. It's absolutely amazing. There is no comparison between these two individuals. Brian Daly and his dynasty, Mrs. Daly, will be stumping for status quo politics, business as usual. Let's keep on swinging and hope it turns out better next time. The do-nothing, get me power and give me money position that most of our legislators have had for decades here. And you see which direction our state's going. You know what, people? Stand up and show up.
You know, Mark,
by the way,
Mark Kent, had a very interesting beginning to his program last time, and it was on Sovereign Minds, and Mark will be up next on Sovereign Minds, and he was talking about the sheriff, because the sheriff actually said that he would arrest somebody if they had open carry in the if they were open carrying in the city. And my question to him was, and should be the question that you have of John Lopie, and that is, if you trust, for example, in Shasta County, 10,000 people with concealed carry, wouldn't you trust their judgment if they decided, well, maybe at this particular where I'm at right now, it would be better if I open carried so I could take the riffraff around me would know that there'd be somebody here to protect the folks?
You know, whether it's better or not is an open question, but here's the deal. Concealed carry is not a right.
There you go.
Period. Privilege. The state can wipe that out in an instant. The next sheriff can stop issuing. The next sheriff can even revoke the permits that you've already issued, because the Los Angeles County Sheriff is doing the same thing right now. You have Santa Clara County where a murderer snuck in, cut the fence, and snuck into a popular event, the Garlic Festival, and he murdered people. And even though the police were right there, a lot of people still died or were wounded. And in Santa Clara County, with 1.5 million people, there are exactly, I think it's 113 concealed carry permits, and probably 90 of those belong to judges. I mean, there's your right in a nutshell. If you hang your hat on concealed carry, you have no right. It is up to a single individual with no right of appeal. He can say yes or he can say no, and the next guy might say no. Whether open carry is better or not, that's a discussion that would take hours. But here's the point. Open carry is the right. Concealed carry is not the right.
Well,
and your sheriff is denying you a right. And my sheriff is denying me a right. And every sheriff in California is denying everyone the right. And well, Brian Daly supports that.
He does. And Mark, we're going to head off here. Thanks for calling in, Kemosabe. Talk to you soon. And C.J. Bryant, thank you for being here, my dear, and thank you for all you do in Nevada County. And remember, folks, keep your powder dry, and time has come.
For 51.
Jefferson, state of mind. You don't know us, you have no clue, and still you're telling us what to do.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.